Is it right over there on your left hand side?
Phil has a Mason's.
I thought so.
The Senate will please come to order. Roll call.
Roll call for Monday, February 15th. Anderson?
Here.
Here. Barnard?
Here.
Babout?
Here.
Boner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Present.
Christensen?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
Kraft?
Here.
Dockstetter?
Here.
Driscoll?
Here.
Emmerich?
Here.
Esquivel?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Hastert?
Here.
Hicks?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Kinski?
Here.
Landon?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Pappas?
Here.
Perkins?
Here.
Peterson?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Rothfuss?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Von Fladern?
Here.
Wasserberger?
Here.
President Nicholas?
Here.
30 present.
Prayer will be by Pastor Billy Mender. Thank you for being with us this week.
Thank you. This week I'd like to take each day, pray for six of the senators by name, and privileged to be here with you and pray for you this week. Let's pray. Father, today, as we celebrate President's Day, we're thankful again so much for the country that we live in and the state of Wyoming. And today, Father, I want to pray for these men that serve the citizens of Wyoming, from Laramie, Chris Rothfuss, from Casper, Charles Scott, and the two senators from Gillette, Michael Von Flattern and Jeff Wasserberger, and Tony Ross, the mostly esteemed senator from Cheyenne, Wyoming's answer to Donald Trump. Lord, as we do our work this week and today, help us to take our work seriously, but not ourselves, because we're loved by you very deeply. So we ask for your guidance and wisdom today, and we ask for your protection of our families and our businesses and our ventures as we're away from them and serve the people of Wyoming. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm thinking about that prayer and all the reasons why it wouldn't apply, but I keep coming to more reasons why the analogy works. You may, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, members of the
Body, I want to make an apology to the body. Last week, I signed for a distribution of a stuff that went out on the floor. I didn't take the time to look at it, and it had some. After I looked at it and it's drawn to my attention, it had some identification of I guess one of the members on the floor, and that's one of the things that you're not supposed to do, is to personally identify any member. I didn't look at the content closely enough to find out that it contained that. It also had what I would call maybe some inflammatory statements with some adjectives that necessarily shouldn't have been used or weren't appropriate. I want to apologize for that distribution. It's on me for not taking the time to look at it, as I was quickly barrauded by the folks out in the lobby out there. But I personally apologize to the members whose name was in that. I hope that they not going to use their name today on the floor, because that would be inappropriate, but I hope that they know that my apology is sincere. So thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Mr. Senator Meyer.
I can't apologize for your bills. I can't.
Well, let me take the point of personal privilege then to further discuss it, as I was going to address it later. But you all received this publication, and Senate Rule 8-8 provides that any item to be distributed must be approved in advance by a senator. And when you allow your name to be put on a document to be distributed on the floor, part of your responsibility is to make sure that the information meets our level and our code of conduct with respect to distributions. And a member couldn't, we have rules that apply to ourselves with respect to Masons. And I'll just talk about those for a minute. Masons Rule 126, Subsection 2 says, no person may indulge in personalities, impugn the motives of members, use indecent and profane language, or participate in conduct that disrupts or disturbs the orderly proceedings of the body. You go over to Rule 124. In debate, a member must confine remarks to the question before the House and avoid personalities. A member, in referring to another member, should avoid using the member's name rather than identifying that member's district or use that. And it's further in the next rule, in 111, inappropriate to refer to the executive branch. This document prepared by this lobby group violates every one of our rules. It's inappropriate. It refers to the executive branch throughout. It refers to names of legislators. And in many instances, in one instance, I can tell you the information is out and out a lie. It's wrong. And a member can't simply say, well, I would like to have somebody else say something inappropriate about a colleague and then put my name on it, and then when I distribute it, I have no responsibility. Your responsibility applies to all documents, including that which is distributed on the floor. So you have a duty when you're putting your name on documents to make sure that the information complies with our rules of debate before it's distributed on the floor. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Privilege of the floor.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. President. Members of the Senate, it's the intention of your floor leader today we'll do second reading, third reading, then I want to get into committee of the whole and try to do the bills that are on the board. I might add a couple or take a couple off. Then we'll have the committee of the whole rise and report, then we'll get into the budget bill. Talking to the Appropriations Committee Chairman, we're going to try to get through, Mr. Chairman, probably budget 67, which is the university. We'll see how it goes, so be prepared for a long day, but not necessarily a real long day. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. We're at that order of business of reading, correction, approval of Journal. Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 12, 2016 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Wasserberger, Chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Next item is new business. The doctor of the day is Dr. Philip Eskew from Cheyenne. He's a doctor of osteopathy. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for being here. And our nurse of the day is Kristen Colbrand from Newcastle. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate it. Today in history, in 1909, Park County was formed. In 1921, oh man, ever since then. In 1921, Teton and Sublette counties were formed. And today is day six of the proposed 20-day session. Thursday is the last day for bills to be reported out of committee of the House of Origin. Is the congresswoman here? What's the next on my list? We'll know when she's here. We'll all be standing. Okay. The next item is reading and referencing of bills on first reading. Senate File 1, first reading of the bill.
Senate File 1, General Government Appropriations, sponsored by the Joint Appropriations Committee.
Pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1B, Senate File 1 is referred directly to the Committee of the Whole. And we have a bill reassignment. For Senate File 104, Volunteer Health Care. Before I sign that, let me just take the privilege of the floor for a moment. Folks, the rules with respect to pulling a bill out of committee is that you have to give the committee, a subcommittee, a reasonable time to consider the bill. So had I known that rule last week, I would have rejected the request. You could have brought it later after that committee. Number 12 would have had the time to consider the bill. It's not appropriate to at least to withdraw the bills before they've had a chance to consider it. But I would admonish everybody the following. I know there was concern about the assignment, for example, of the Hathaway bill to appropriations. But folks, we have to begin to look at the horizon for determining what a bill costs. And when you begin to look at trust funds, the horizon is 50 years. It's not 1 year, 2 years, or 5 years. And your appropriations committee is trained to look at that. The appropriations committee, for example, is the committee that sorted out that your trust fund or that's set up for public employees is now $1 billion underfunded because we voted for increases for state employees, which the long-term fund could not sustain. And when we begin to look at the health of that account, we need to understand not only the fiscal impact in 4 or 5 years, but can the program sustain itself at those new increases. It's not relevant what the, in my mind, so much what the trustees have done to the salaries or to the tuition increases. This is a trust fund generated benefit, and the issue is can the trust fund sustain the increase? And that's why it was assigned to committee number two. We don't, you know, it's not, there's no provision for explaining why bills are assigned to committees. And when you, I suppose you could make that explanation each and every time. Voluntary health care, on the one hand, is a bill that, on explanation, was not explained, that it creates an entire new program that makes makes all of these volunteers state employees. As state employees, if they create a medical mistake, claims could be made against the risk management pool of the state at $250,000 of WAC. In 2000, when we took over from the hard 1990s, the risk management pool was near zero. We built up that risk management pool substantially in the last 10 or 15 years, but if you wait, when you see the JAC recommendations, they're recommending that there be no new payments or a reduced amount of payment in that risk management pool. So the forecast and the legacy horizon for a bill like this is long. It does have fiscal impacts. And the JAC is frankly better equipped, best equipped to know what the long-term fiscal impacts. Senate File 104 is reassigned to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. I would note with respect to the bill that talked about the state shrubs, in all kidding aside, what it does demonstrate is we have a long tradition of involving youth in our programs here. And you're going to see that when we redo the Capitol, one of the appropriations coming forward recognizes that and proposes a learning center, a place for students to come in, and part of the cost that is the subject of the memorandum that we just talked about that was distributed, that was so heavily criticized, is designed, intended for introduction of fourth graders into state government in their civics and history. So I think it's been an interesting discussion on the shrubs, and we do want to make sure that we involve young people in the program so they can understand government. And there's no offense taken by the taking time out for that program. With that, we're at that order of business of reports from standing committees.
February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 97, Student and School Safety Call Center, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Coe, Dockstader, Landon, Pappas, and Rothfuss. Senator Coe, Chairman. February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 10, Labor, to whom was referred Senate File 86, Medical Assistance Program Design, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Boner, Driscoll, Peterson, and Scott. No, Senator Kraft. Sponsored by Senator Scott. February 12, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 9, Minerals, to whom was referred Senate File 18, Competitive Bid Specification Requirements, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Anderson, Coe, Cooper, and Rothfuss. No, Senator Von Flatern. Senator Von Flatern, Chairman. February 11, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 9, Railroad Quiet Zones, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, Senate File 86, Medical Assistance Program Design, that was just read in, does have an appropriation of $20,000 in it. I ask it be re-referred to committee number two.
Without objection, Senate File 86 is re-referred to committee number two, Appropriations. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I love these introductions you provided because you feel like you have to read them. Oh, yeah, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it just to embarrass you. But actually, it doesn't do enough. This morning, we have the honor of welcoming U.S. Representative Cynthia Lummis back to the Wyoming legislature. We all know that she served 14 years in the House and 8 years in the Senate. She currently serves in her final year in Congress on the Committee on Natural Resources and Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, where she's the chairman of the Subcommittee on the Interior. She single-handedly brought our AMLs back. It's about time. And no, we'll give everybody credit for that, not just you. She continues to be involved in the operations of the Lummis Family Ranch, located in Laramie County, and we're proudly serving as a resident of Wyoming. And, you know, for me, one of the most extraordinary things that the congressman did while serving as treasurer was to make sure that we would embark in investments of our permanent mineral trust fund into equities, and created what is a program that's a modified version of the Yale investment rule that has served us so well. And we should all be reminded when we think about Congressman Lummis, the importance of having the statutory reserve account, adhering to principles of long-term management, and she set up the tools for that, that we should be eternally grateful for those tools, and we simply need to have the long view to implement those tools and always look at that fund from a long term, which was the model that she helped create. We sure appreciate it. Would you all welcome Congressman Cynthia Lummis.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I have the privilege of the floor?
You may.
Well, I want to express how important it is to me that I had an opportunity to serve in this legislature, and how important it is that you now are tasked with such a Herculean project of navigating through these difficult financial times. The good news is I know you're up to it, because Wyoming people are very informed voters. They elect people to represent them in this legislature who are thoughtful, who can work together and can solve the problems of this state, who have backgrounds that have prepared them well for the responsibilities at hand. And as I look around this room, I just can't imagine a group of people more capable of the challenges you're facing than you. And fortunately for Wyoming, we have a system that recognizes the talents in this room and uplifts those talents and empowers the talents and the abilities in this room. During most of the time I've been in Congress, that has not been the case. There are extraordinary people in the Congress of the United States. There is tremendous underutilized talent. But we rejected, at the end of 2015, the old way of doing business in Washington, which was command and control from the leadership, you exercising reward and punishment. And it was used by both parties. It was used by the Democrat speaker that was there when I first arrived in Congress. It was used by the Republican speaker that was there during most of my tenure. But those days are over. I believe Paul Ryan really will be a transformative speaker. He may be the best speaker this country has ever had. And it's because he believes in empowering and utilizing the talent in the room, regardless of which side of the aisle it is, and accepting ideas from rank-and-file members. We are changing the way Congress functions. We are trying to restore a system that was put in place but not utilized, because what Congress would do is suspend the rules more than half of the time to pass legislation that would never pass if you were exercising the rules. We're getting away from having legislation drafted in the Speaker's office and being brought directly through the floor to the floor without going through committee. As shocking as it is, that was the norm for major pieces of legislation. Now they're going through committees. Now regular order is being restored, and the opportunity for representative government to be reinstated is at hand. So I'm somewhat envious of the person who will succeed me in this office. But I played a part in ushering in this new 21st century approach to governing. And I learned that approach right here. Right here. So my hats are off to you. I do have a favor to ask of you. I'm on the Natural Resources Committee, and I chair a subcommittee of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee that deals with the Department of the Interior. And among the things that I would like to leave Congress is a discussion draft on how to reform the Federal Land Policy Management Act and the National Forest Policy Act in ways that empower states. We have in our state an example of a national forest that is very well managed, and it's the Black Hills. It's well managed because there is a logging company in the Black Hills, the Nymans, that have, through their responsible, sustainable forestry practices, helped manage a healthy national forest there. Such is not the case with most of the other national forests in Wyoming. In fact, many of our national forests have not been responsibly, sustainably managed, thereby making them sources of potential catastrophic wildfire. So what I would like to do is prepare a discussion draft to leave when I leave office that would provide to states more options with regard to the management of BLM lands and the management of forests. One idea that's being discussed in Washington is the notion of charter forests, which should be modeled after the concept of charter schools. What I'm asking is for your ideas about how that might be implemented, whether you have any interest in that concept, or whether you would like to explore notions of having options within federal land policy acts that would allow you to take over maybe management of some federal lands, perhaps ownership of other federal lands, or leave some federal lands in the management of the federal government. Now, obviously, I'm not talking about national parks, national monuments, Indian country. I'm not talking about DOD property. I'm not talking about U.S. Fish and Wildlife property. It's just BLM and certain of our national forests. If you have thoughts and ideas, let me know what they might be. The states really are the great incubators of innovation, and the top-down government doesn't work, and it particularly doesn't work in the West, where now we're dealing with a waters of the U.S. rule, where this administration is supporting rules that actually disempower states and take over management of many aspects of our lives that previously have been the province of the states. So because I have such confidence in the people in this room and your ability to come up with better ideas, I'm asking you for help in preparing a discussion draft that I can leave to my successors in office. I am so grateful that you're here to help solve the problems of our state. I know you're up to the task. I offer any support and encouragement that I can, and I'm going to offer my prayers that God will bless your work, that he will grant you the wisdom and the discernment to guide our state forward through these tough economic times. And I am proud, as a former member of this body, to tell you that it has been one of the greatest honors of my life to represent you in Congress. And I will be eternally grateful for that opportunity and look forward to passing the torch to the person who succeeds me with all the enthusiasm for their future success and their ability to represent our state to the best of their abilities in the Congress of the United States. Thank you very much, Mr. President. I yield back.
Thank you for thank you for being here. Bills on second reading. Senate File 2, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 2, Attorney General Opinions, Legislative Request.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 2, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, and is so ordered. Senate File 3, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 3, Permissive Preference for Veterans in Private Employment.
Senate File 3, there are no amendments, no discussions. Senate File 3, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 31, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 31, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 31, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 32, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 32, Alternative School Accountability.
There are no amendments, no discussion. Senate File 32, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 34, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 34, Uniform Fiduciary Access to Digital Assets Act.
We have an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 34, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 5, after line 3.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd move Second Reading Amendment 2 to Senate File 34 and ask the body's favorable consideration. What this does, it looks long, but really it's the concept is fairly simple. When we come in here, you'll find in a number of places that the applicability for this statute is, for example, if you turn to page 12, it may be the easiest to explain. So if you look here and we talk about the disclosure of content for communications, one of the things you find in here is that if you go to line 18, you're looking for just information about the accounts or the content electronic or digital information. If you go down here and you look under under 18, you see under Romanette 3, a certified copy of a court order appointing a personal representative. Well, when we have a number of situations where we have not only personal representatives, you might have trustees of vocable trusts after a person has passed away. You might have, you also have under our summary probate statutes, you have a people called distributee or distributees, and you don't, that have certain rights to obtain information, particularly personal property, which digital information would be a type of intangible personal property. And so they have the right to have this stuff on behalf of their estate, on behalf of the estate. And so what we're doing here is trying to make sure and expanding the concept of these individuals who trustees and distributees and other people like that, so they have the right and kind of included in the concept of the people who are authorized to get this information. So in doing that, it requires, if you look there in talking with staff, they thought the best way to do this was to have, and this is used other places in the bill, the term fiduciary expanded and defined in the Act. So it would include a personal representative, a trustee, executor, administrator, guardian, agent, conservator, distributee under Title II, Chapter 1 of the Wyoming Statutes, which is the summary probate provisions, and those types of things. So we have that those fiduciaries then who have the right on behalf of the individual who is the who actually would be owning the digital information or digital assets to have access to that. And so the rest of that is essentially conforming amendments to make sure that that concept is carried through the bill. And so you see when you see representative, for example, you go to page 2 of the bill, you see a representative, insert or distributee. That's would be personal representative or distributee, which was the person who's appointed or is entitled to receive that information or is that property under the probate law. And so those are just basically, as you go down, various conforming amendments to make sure that that goes out throughout the Act. The other thing that this amendment does, Mr. Chairman, is one of the things that are required that there has to be a court. You have the ability or requirement on page 13 of the bill that talks about a finding of a court, but there's no designation of who that court and who that finding, who what court would render that finding. What we're doing here on page 3 of the amendment is to make sure that the local circuit court would be the person who's authorized to make the findings required by the Act. What that would do is that would help speed up process. It would make it less expensive. You wouldn't have to wait around for the district court's calendar, and most importantly, you wouldn't have to necessarily go to federal district court in order to have them interpret or give you make the finding under federal law. So we thought in doing that, by the legislature doing that, they would have that, they would have the circuit courts would have that jurisdiction, and so that would make this so that it would work for when you have wards from guardians or as people get older and become struggle with minds or through illness, they need conservators appointed or guardians appointed. If you have a trust, as we said, personal representative or a revocable trust, a trustee of a trust, or in some cases under our summary probate law, a distributee would all be authorized as though they are personal representatives. And so that's what this amendment does, and would ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussions or questions on the amendment? There, Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, on and for the amendment, the University of Wyoming College of Engineering, we teach engineers that if you're holding a document that says fiduciary more than 50 times but doesn't include equations, you're probably in the wrong office, and you should go find the right one. But on the off chance that you're holding the right document, you should find a good lawyer. I appreciate the Vice President's efforts on this to improve this document and draft and make it consistent with Wyoming statute. Urge the body to vote aye.
Further discussion? All those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 34, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. That amendment has been adopted. We're now back on the bill. Is there any further discussion on the bill? There being none, Senate File 34 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 37, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 37, Boards and Commissions, Party Affiliation.
There appears to be an amendment. If the reading clerk would please read in the amendment.
Senate File 37, second reading amendment number 1, page 1, line 10.
Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 37 and ask the body for favorable consideration. Mr. President, we had a good discussion on this legislation last week, looking at the changes that would be made to the boards and commissions party affiliation through this legislation. Part of that discussion included consideration of how it would change the structure of the boards, the representation on the boards, and trying to find a way that we could get an equitable result and a more expeditious result while still representing the interests of having tension between viewpoints on these boards and commissions. This proposed amendment tries to find some compromise in not taking it quite as far as the Corporations Committee brought it, while identifying a number of the changes that were made, Mr. President, that are perfectly reasonable and only lead to a more efficient and effective government in the state. So, Mr. President, everyone has in their hopper a little spreadsheet that is the key to the amendment with regard to the changes that are made in the proposed Senate File 37. And there's effectively three types of amendments that are being proposed in this amendment throughout, and you have a key here that is basically green, yellow, and red-coded for the type of change. So rather than going through the amendment line by line, the concept here gets at the key changes. And what you see in this spreadsheet, you see the number of appointed members of each of these boards and commissions. The current maximum from one party is then listed in the second column. And the proposed change that would be enacted if Senate File 37, along with the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1, took place, where you have some instances where a three-quarters maximum would be instantiated, and you have some instances where nonpartisan would go into place, and those are indicated in red. And then beyond that, in the next column is the loss. And you can see the loss, as drafted in Senate File 37, would basically be 48 protected seats. That's a substantial change. It takes it from a 41% maximum from one party, or representation, I should say, by a potential minority party, down to a 19% guaranteed representation by a minority. So that's effectively cutting that in half. The proposed amendment, Mr. President, that you see here accepts some of those changes. In many instances, it shifts it from a three-quarter to a two-thirds maximum. That's the 0.67 you see there, allows for a two-thirds of the committee to be represented from one party, but not the full three-quarters. So that's a bit of a compromise there. And then in some circumstances, the amendment proposes to leave things unchanged. Those are the extreme examples where the Retirement Board, the Board of Education, UW Board of Trustees, Community College, Game and Fish, Environmental Quality Council, and Water Development would be unchanged from current statute. It shows an updated list of results. It shows the net loss, and you can see that it would then shift to around a third of the seats on the boards and commissions in the state would then be protected, Mr. President, rather than only one-fifth. Which, again, seems like a reasonable compromise. Many of these are left unamended, particularly the ones that shift to a nonpartisan board. Most of that was reflected and maintained, recognizing that, yes, for example, the Geological Survey, nonpartisan, obviously perfectly reasonable. Paramutual, Wyoming Aeronautics, nonpartisan, that seemed reasonable. So, Mr. President, this is an attempt at trying to find some middle ground, recognizing the interests and the good work that was done by the Corporations Committee in drafting this legislation, but also recognizing that there certainly are interests of these boards and commissions wherein we want to maintain that tension and ensure that one party cannot simply rule the day. Also recognizing that these boards and commissions have done a lot of good work in recent years and over the years through their history, and part of that good work is the fact that they have a diversity of ideas available to them because of the assurances that are provided in statute that we have that diversity available. Mr. President, I urge the body to adopt this amendment and hope for favorable considerations. I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
On the amendment, discussion, Senator Case.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I do appreciate the efforts of the minority floor leader and He shared his amendment with me earlier today. Mr. President, I think it's a bit of a, it's a policy call. Besides going from the 75% to the 67%, they did, the minority floor leader's amendment did change the advisory boards for the Environmental Quality Commission. So that's the boards, they're listed. You see the one that say air quality, land quality, and water quality. The Standing Committee Amendment had made those all nonpartisan. There was a reference, some folks thought they should be nonpartisan. Some thought that they should stay partisan. We had a bit of that discussion the other day. So I think that's one issue to separate out, and I would ask perhaps if we could figure out a way to divide that out to about those boards. With respect to the issue of 67 versus 75%. Mr. President, I'm not going to fight real hard one way or the other. I do think that given the realities of party balances and party splits and the way our counties are, our individual precincts, I think probably 75% is closer to the way Wyoming actually is. I think that's a fairness that makes it kind of easier for the executive branch to make appointments in this area, but I say call that one up or down. But I'd like to try to figure out how to divide out, and with perhaps the help of the minority floor leader, Mr. President, we could divide out the three advisory boards and address those separately in this amendment. I'm sure that can be done.
There's a request for a collaborative division of the bill. If we'll give a moment. Senator Bebout.
Yeah, Mr. President, while they're doing that, just a question also of the sponsor. And as I look at this under the kind of the pink or red, whatever the color might be, we're going back and we're eliminating from the corporations bill those five items, and going back to the way it is. So a little more discussion on that, maybe from someone from the Corporations Committee. There's some pretty important boards there, Board of Trustees, Community College, Game and Fish, and like some of them, the current max would be 7 under the bill. They would go to 9, so a little more discussion about that, because those were, I'm sure they were hotly debated during the interim, and the committee came with a bill they thought was a way to do it, and now we're going to change that, so let's have a little more discussion about that.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, in response to that, that puts your finger right on the reason that I have difficulty supporting this amendment. I'm rising opposing to the amendment. Frankly, the worst of the difficulties in finding appointees have been particularly the University Board of Trustees and some of those highly sought after, where we've got so many different requirements. You've got geographical distributions, you've got political ones, and that's where the governor's office has had the most trouble finding the best people. And I think that going away from the committee bill in that respect and maintaining the difficulties that they're having finding people and maintaining the discrimination against the majority party, I cannot support an amendment that does that, and I think that part of this amendment is a major mistake.
Other discussions before the division? Are you ready to make the division, or do you decide that the division can be made? Senator Rothfuss?
Point of order, this would be my second time on the bill, unless this is my first
this
time on the attempt at the division.
We're now speaking to the division only. It will not count. Then you'll be entitled to two discussions on each of the divisions or how many they are. So this is not your second time. Rather, we're talking about whether the bill can be divided sensibly.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I do believe that the bill can be divided sensibly. Mr. President, I will need to work through this and double check, but you can see the leftmost column of the Excel spreadsheet includes a page number. All of those references are the references that are on
Rob, that's great, but I can't see that spreadsheet.
Mr. President, I can't believe you didn't bring your stack of paper up with you have this beautiful.
The staff won't let me go to the desk when I come in the morning because they think it slows me down. All right. I have the bill. Senator Case, it was your request to divide, I believe, so we'll go to you.
Yeah.
Mr. President, I believe I have a stab at it.
Okay.
So if you go to the bill, the section that we're talking about, which are the advisory boards, it's 3511.113, which is on page 17 of your bill. It says advisory boards created membership. So on page 2 of the good senator's amendment, starting on line 25, begins to deal with page 17, lines 22. And then, Mr. President, if we go to page 18 of the bill, you can see that it's also contained lines 1 and 2 of page 18 pertain to that advisory board section. So I would propose this division, and I ask for the good minority floor leader to back me up on this, but I would say division number 1 would be lines 24 through 34 of page 2 of the amendment, with the balance being everything else. And I believe,
let me ask, you did mention there were changes over on page 18. I noticed you cut your division off on page 2 at line 34.
My
what about
error.
Lines 35, 36?
Thank you, Mr. President. Very good. Let's get this later, Mr. President.
Well, this is a drill. It was scheduled. You are to exit. We'll be exiting out the hallway to the left by the gym.
Annoying sound. Carol, are you coming with us?
I am.
Where are you going, Peterson? Don't be leaving, man.
Maybe Mr. President.
Larry said the only critique he had was he had to round up the senators for roll call, but they need to go down to where they see the clipboard.
Okay, we're going to, what would you give us, like a C? C plus?
C minus.
C minus, okay, I'll... I haven't seen this.
No, I told him. He says you got to go up to North Texas. And they were two more also.
Yeah, that, what is that? There's that wonderful line. I think it came from the 80s. Hair being blown by unseen winds.
I get no respect. Those hearing rates are really helpful in that situation, aren't they?
That was the first reading of the budget we just did outside and we voted on it.
That was actually final passage.
Thank you.
Let's see, do we need to do a roll call? Probably not. Just to make sure everybody's here. We got Eli. We're missing Eli. Is it? Okay. Yeah. It's pretty obnoxious noise. Pardon? Okay, I better be careful what I say. Thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know what I said. I hope it was okay. Okay, here we go. The Senate will please come back to order. The staff rated you all, us all of us, about a C-. The reason, yeah, it's just, we're all just good enough. We're just a little bit above average. The criticism was that we're supposed to assemble in the group. I was one of the people that was loitering. So remember, if called up on to do a real exercise, that we were to convene around the spot where we were roll called in, and they were still trying to gather us up to do that. So the lesson learned was go directly to the area where we're roll called in. Otherwise, C minus is pretty good for us, I guess. We were at that order of business of bills on second reading. The bill we were working on was Senate File 37. We were on second reading amendment number one. to Senate File 37. The floor was given to Senator Case, and we were working through the division, Division 1 being lines 24 through either 34 or 37, and that was where we left it. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I'm out of time now.
Too bad.
Mr. President, the correction on the division would be two lines 37, so I ask for this amendment to be divided lines 24 through 37 being the first division and the balance of the amendment being the second division, Mr.
Okay. The chair finds that the amendment is divisible, and I think by now everybody has the divisions, but I will repeat it. Division number one is on page 2, beginning line 24, going through line 37. The balance of the amendment is going to be and is division number 2. We are now on division number 1, Senator Case.
And, Mr. President, the effect of this division would be to return it to the Standing Committee's amendment, which if you vote for the or against the division, that returns it to the Standing Committee's amendment, which took these three advisory boards and made them nonpartisan. I do point out that there's a little bit of a hitch, Mr. President, because if you support this division and then you were to address the second division, it is possible for them to be in conflict. If that does occur, where you would have 75% on these three boards and 67% on these three boards, 75% on everything else in the bill, we'll handle that with a third reading amendment. It's just a lot cleaner than further dividing. But I would suggest, Mr. President, I'd ask that these three boards continue the other boards that we have made nonpartisan in the bill.
Discussion on division number one. Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, the reasoning here is that environmental quality-related issues, including air quality, land quality, and water quality, are often tinged with partisan interests, and the parties often reflect different interests, different priorities, and would provide different recommendations through these advisory councils. It would be nice if I could say that if you put together any committee of five engineers for land quality, water quality, or air quality, that they would always come up with the same answers, and if you just handed them a set of equations, perhaps they would. But the reality is each of these individual policy areas is one that is affected by political and partisan views, and ensuring that you have a diversity of partisan interests, or no more than three is the current statute, and with the 0.67 it would remain at no more than three as the result pursuant to the amendment. You once again assure that you have a diversity of views. The majority still has the possibility then of winning the day, but there is the opportunity then to hear that minority view, which will always be present. And on this policy area, it seems in order to have that minority view always available.
Mr. Vice President, would you please come to the chair? Further discussion on division number one.
Are you ready for the question? Oh, wait. That's right. I forgot I was up here.
Yeah. Well, at least the picture came down. So the way I feel, Mr. Vice President, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I think, folks, when you begin to look at this analysis, you also have to recognize that in our short history that we've all served, we've had governors on both parties being representative and being our chief executive officer. And in time, if you look back at the stronger history we've had, the majority of this body has changed over years. And you have to look at the analysis of the bill and recognize that you could just as easily have a Republican chief executive officer as a Democratic chief executive officer. And you could say, well, these are nonpartisan jobs, but that means that in the event that you have a Democratic chief executive officer once elected, he's free to go out and align these council members with anybody he should choose and by declaring that it's simply nonpartisan. And you have to ask yourself, is that the result that you intended? And again, I'll reference back to my earlier comments and that the difficulty is not finding learned people that are well-intentioned to serve on these boards. The issue is the marriage between the geographical requirements and the requirements of party affiliation. And at some point, we're going to have to look at the geographical analysis. This bill doesn't really do that, but in time, we'll have to look at that to see where that marriage is not working. But you have to look at whether you're on the party that's being that has in office, out of office, and the party with majority and not majority on for the amendment.
And Mr. President.
The question hasn't been called for. All those in favor of division number one to second reading amendment number one to Senate File 37, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The chair's in doubt. Will those in favor please stand?
Seven.
Thank you. Opposed, stand. Division number one has failed to pass. We're back on division one, we're back on division two to the bill. Any further discussion? Senator Bebout.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I understand and appreciate the good comments made by the minority floor leader about this particular part of the bill and the changes he wants to incorporate. But, Mr. President, as I look at this, and I'm speaking on and against the amendment, and particularly when you look at the high-profile boards, the trustees, community college, game and fish, and I will tell you, Mr. President, and you talked about the geographical portion of it, certainly that's something that should be addressed in the future, but you have a lot of counties out there that are predominantly one party or the other, and they're waiting for years to have an appointment or a chance at having that appointment be represented in their county or their area that they're in, and then they have no chance. And I've lived through that, Mr. President, in Fremont County on quite frankly all of these, and so I think that's another reason to consider why I would ask you to vote against this amendment, and maybe we look at further on how to do the geographical interpretation to be fairer and better.
Further discussion on the division. Senator Anderson.
Mr. President, in a previous life I was a party chairman. One of the biggest problems we had was getting people to serve on these boards. I recommend not passing this amendment and leaving the numbers like the committee came up with. Thank you.
Further discussion, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, I'd like to remind the body that three out of the last five governors were from a party other than ours. This cuts both ways. We've been fortunate in those past governors were not particularly partisan, but that doesn't stop a governor from becoming partisan once they get elected. So, as I said, this can go both ways. So I would speak in favor of this amendment.
Discussion? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just some final thoughts. Regarding the majority leader's concerns about the high-profile positions and the difficulty in finding them, these high-profile positions really are the easiest ones for the minority party to line up excellent individuals. And if you look around the state right now and you look at the boards, in these particular boards, you should be nothing but impressed with the caliber of the personnel that are on those boards and commissions. There's no shortage. There's no challenge. As somebody who's been involved in selecting and identifying those individuals, these are the easy ones. It is the ones that we're looking at trying to convert to the nonpartisan, where you've got such specialization and you've got local requirements that I certainly understand it's a challenge, and you have less partisan interests there. So I believe that the high-profile ones are, if anything, a case in point or in favor of supporting this division number two, as I do. With regard to difficulties in selecting members, again, the recruiting can be a challenge for certain circumstances, but it does go more towards the geographic localization than actually identifying specific members of a minority party or simply not the majority party, which is actually how it's written. So with that, Mr. President, I would urge the body to support this. It's a compromise, and after the defeat of the first division, the numbers actually go to around 28.4% required for minority representation. 28.4% is similar to the minority representation in the state right now, which is around 30%. So this is just a bit shy of required representation by a minority, which is roughly equal to the minority representation right now in the state of Wyoming. So with the defeat of Division Number 1, Division Number 2 would move us nearly in line with the minority requirement if you look at a one-person, one vote for the state of Wyoming. I hope the body will support Division Number 2, and I'd call for the question.
The question is called for. Any further discussion? There being none. All those in favor of Division Number 2 to Senate reading, second reading number 1 to Senate File 37, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. We're back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. There being none, Senate File 37, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 45, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 45, Rural Health Care District's Authority.
There are no amendments. Are there any discussion? There being none, Senate File 45 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 46, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 46, Asset Forfeiture Number 1.
No amendments, no discussion. Senate File 46 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. Senate File 61, second reading of the bill.
Senate File 61, Occupational Health and Safety Act, Civil Penalties.
There appears to be no amendments. Discussion? There being none, Senate File 61 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're at that order of business. Bills on third reading. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, yes, we do have a consent list, and I move the third reading consent list, which as follows. Senate File 11, Youth Challenge Program. Senate File 17, Notice of Mineral Property Transfer. Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing. Senate File 26, Lapsing of Appropriated Funds Amendments. Senate File 38, Data Management Policies, and Senate File 59, Deferred Compensation Automatic Enrollment Amendments 2.
Does any member wish to have any of the bills on the consent list removed? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 11, Youth Challenge Program. Senate File 17, Notice of Mineral Transfer Property Transfer. Senate File 19, Public Funds Investing. Senate File 26, Lapsing of Appropriated Funds Amendments. Senate File 38, Data Management Policies. And Senate File 59, Deferred Compensation Automatic Enrollments 2. The reading clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Aye. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
Aye.
Boner?
Aye.
Aye. Burns?
Aye.
Aye. Case?
Aye.
Aye. Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
Aye.
Aye. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
Aye.
Aye. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich.
Aye.
Aye. Escobel.
Aye.
Aye. Geis.
Aye.
Aye. Hastert.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks. Johnson.
Aye.
Aye. Kinski.
Aye.
Aye. Landon. I. Meyer. I. Pappas. I. Perkins. I. Peterson. I. Ross. I. Rothfuss. I. Scott. I. Von Platern. I. Wasserberger. I. President Nicholas.
Aye.
Aye. Hicks. Hicks.
Aye.
Aye. On the consent list, 30 aye. Senate File 11, are there any changes? Bebout, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Driscoll, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no.
Nicholas, aye to no. Christensen, aye to no. Peterson, aye to no. Closing vote. Perkins, aye to no. Closing. Vote closed. 22 aye, 8 no. Senate File 17. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 17, 30 aye. Senate File 19, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 19, 30 ayes. Senate File 26, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 26, 30 aye. Senate File 38. Cooper, aye to no. Dockstetter, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 38, 28 aye, 2 no. Senate File 59, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 59, 30 aye.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elect to the Senate, Senate File 11, 17, 19, 26, 38, and 59 have all passed the Senate. Senate File 36, third reading of the bill.
Senate File 36, LLC Member and Manager Liability, sponsored by the Corporations Committee, an act relating to limited liability companies.
There is an amendment. Will the reading clerk please read in the amendment?
Senate File 36, third reading amendment number 1, corrected copy. Page 1, line 7.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I would move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 36, the corrected copy version, Mr. President. Mr. President, this does a little further tinkering into what we've been working on in this bill. That's a very important bill. Let's just start there. This is an extremely important bill about Wyoming's future as providing a means of corporations to organize here and do business, the limited liability corporation, which was really pioneered by the state of Wyoming. The first IRS ruling was with respect to Wyoming's law. And so, Mr. Chairman, this is important to Wyoming. And if we don't get this bill right and put Wyoming back on a good footing, then this is a problem. And trying to find the right balance here has been hard, Mr. President. I appreciate the efforts of the President and all the members of the bar that have kind of participated. And, Mr. President, I don't mean at all to think that you support this amendment. You can decide that on your own. But, Mr. President, what this amendment does is go into some of the work that you brought forward the other day and further amends by adding a new subsection C, Mr. President, and maintains the one that we had before. And we have new language now that will say, for purposes of imposing liability on any member or manager of a limited liability company for the debts, obligations, or other liabilities of the company, a court shall consider only the following factors: fraud, inadequate capitalization, and intermingling of assets, business operations, and finances of the company and the member or manager to such an extent that there is no distinction between them. Then we further go into an amendment that was offered on second reading, and we make a little bit of tweaks in that amendment, Mr. President. And the tweaks cause that amendment to now read, in any analysis conducted under subsection C of this section, a court shall not consider factors intrinsic to the character and operation of a limited liability company, including a limited liability company with a single member and manager, for purposes of imposing liability on any member or manager for the debts, obligations, or other liabilities of the company. Factors intrinsic to the character and operation of a limited liability company include, but are not limited to, and would be the rest of the list that was offered in the second amendment to this deal. However, there's a slight change in Romanet 4, which previously said the protection of wealth from the acts of the limited liability company. The new language offered in this amendment will change that to the protection of members' and managers' personal assets from the obligations and acts of the limited liability company. I must be getting short on time, Mr. President, but the reason for that is wealth seems like a pejorative term in our law here, and now we're talking, change that to personal assets. The rest of the bill stands, or the amendment, I think, stands on its own and really does tighten this out and up, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
We're on the amendment. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and for the amendment. Members of the Senate, you know, we listened to the debate on this and brought by the Corporations Committee, and it's all related to, of course, that Supreme Court decision. But the whole purpose of LLCs is to do just that, protect people's personal property and assets from the piercing of the corporate veil. And Mr. President, I think we have to go as far as we can and be very, very proactive in how we deal with it. And I think this amendment goes a long ways to doing that, so I would ask the body to support it.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I will say the second half of the amendment makes sense to me. I can understand that. I think it's an improvement on the language. I'm a little concerned about the new subsection C limiting the court to just considering the following factors. And I would make 2 points. First, I would ask the real attorneys in the body to are there other factors in piercing the corporate veil that should be up in C that they would consider that are separate from the act, the things we're telling them not to, that are down in the last half of the amendment? Have we missed something there? And the way we're writing it, we'd better not have missed something there. Second, inadequate capitalization that is cited there. Mr. President, how you avoid arguing, and maybe there's lots of precedent on this, and I'm just not familiar with it, which I'm not. But were you talking about some outfit goes broke and somebody's trying to pierce the corporate veil to get at the shareholders' assets? isn't there always an argument that it was inadequately capitalized? Is there court precedent on what that means? Or are we opening ourselves to some danger there? And, Mr. President, if I'm not satisfied with the answer on my second time, I'll ask to divide the amendment.
Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, just in answer to my good colleague from Trona County's question, when you read these cases, there's always a number of factors, and we've talked about that laundry list as we've talked about this bill and the amendments in second and third reading. And it's when you come in these cases, the good senator from the Trona County said earlier, it's one of those cases where really bad facts can make for really bad law, and so you come up with a situation where it was a shell corporation, or initially it turned out to just not ever really be a fully operating entity, or there was no distinction. The guy is not only paying his business expenses, but he's paying his kids' medical bills, and he's kids' hockey skates and his groceries and all that stuff is coming out. So you really can't. He's using the corporate or the limited liability company checkbook like it's his own checkbook. And when you talk about inadequate capitalization, and I'm going off a foggy memory here, but my recollection about that is ultimately they're looking for an initial capitalization. There's enough to make it through kind of the initial business cycle. And that's so they have kind of come up with in the past. They've looked at that inadequate capitalization, and of course it would depend on what the type of business is. If you're a situation where you have quick rollover and turnover, you're talking about basically the working capital to get from through accounts receivable and collected and get through that cycle. If you're a rancher where you're selling product once a year, you know, then it might be. Might have a different capitalization structure, but ultimately, it's been a while since I've done one of these cases, but that's kind of the general nature of how they look at that on inadequate capitalization. And typically in bad facts, what you're looking at is somebody has may have run up several $1 million in debt, and they never put in more than a few $1,000s in initial capital or cash to start with, and so it's one of those things. Oftentimes, if it's kind of doomed to fail from the beginning. That's the kind of situation that, again, where bad facts start to come back and make bad law. But as the other factors they talk about, and that I think that talks about inadequate capitalization, the other factors oftentimes are they haven't ever kept corporate minutes, so they haven't done the formalities of having a corporation or, in this case, having a business. So if you've never had annual meetings, if you've never had minutes, if you've never had resolutions, if you've never done any of those things, those oftentimes get cited, but those are never the primary reason. It's kind of like once the court tips and start to go, they just start listing factors. And so sometimes they call that dicta, and you never know exactly how often that really applies. But when you get down to the meat of it, I think that the meat of it, at least from my recollection on some of this stuff, are the primarily the ones that you have here, 1, 2, and 3. Those are the ones that really are the catalyst to get the ball and are the tipping point for these things.
Mr. Vice President, would you please come forward for the discussion on the amendment? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I just have a few questions for the bringer of the amendment. The first is on Romanet 3, lines 17 through 19. I get the concept, but the final clause to such an extent that there is no distinction between them. I'm wondering if that's a specific term of art, if that's captured from somewhere. To me, that's a very extreme version of commingling to the point where you have complete commingling, whereas I can imagine circumstances where partial mingling of assets might be a justifiable point of consideration. So I'm wondering where that last phrase came from. The next question I would have is, we've got an interesting situation when, if this is adopted fully, you've got a list of, you can only consider these three things, and then we have a list of, you cannot consider these four things, which to me is obviated by the, you can only consider these three things. So I'm wondering if there's something I'm missing, or if the new D would then be superfluous. But the question I have is what would the rest of the list be? So we've got 7 points that we're considering here. Is there anything that we would be leaving off this list that isn't on the other list that might be considered or that other states would consider under circumstances where they were reviewing the possibility of piercing the corporate veil? So I feel as if I don't have enough information to properly weigh this new proposed paragraph C, and I'm curious if I can get more. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. Vice President.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Raffas.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. I'm going to speak on and for the amendment, but then I'm going to ask at the end that we set the bill back for one more day because there is a significant element that was omitted from the first list that we need to talk about and make sure we get it right before we pass it on to the House. So the Green Hunter case, as you all understand, is the case from which this we're talking about, and the Green Hunter case relies on existing Wyoming case law that is pretty uniform throughout the United States. And the general statement of the law as it exists is, it says something, drawing upon the factors utilized in the corporate context as a starting point, we refine the requirements for piercing the veil of a limited liability focus on 4 factors. 4, fraud, inadequate capitalization, failure to observe company formalities, and intermingling of the business and finances of the company and the member to such an extent that there is no distinction between them. So there are 4 elements. What was omitted on the draft that's before you is the failure to observe company formalities. Now, that is what's causing a lot of the concern among the bar. But I submit to you that needs to continue to be in there, and there still should be 4 factors. The intention of the draft in the amendment on the lower half, which is the second reading amendment, and then it's been adjusted and improved, I might say, for the in this amendment. But the distinction is that certainly failure to observe company formalities exists. I mean, you do need to have a separate bank account. You do need to have a corporate charter. If you fail to file your charter, your renewal, you shouldn't get the benefits of protection. So there are company formalities. What the second part intended to do is say, look, with respect to these company formalities, however, we're not going to weigh on either side of the balancing scale the issue of whether or not you're a single member entity. So the fact that you own the company, you're the president, the vice president, the treasurer, that's okay because that's what we've authorized you to do. So those are taken off, but you can't, that's the purpose of the second part, is to make sure that element number 3, as articulated by the court, failure to observe company formalities, is taken into context. So I think that we need to reexamine that. My first reaction is that item number 3 needs to go back in so that we adopt the complete existing common law from the courts. But then we go on to say, with respect to that item 3, here are the restrictions and this is how we expect you to analyze it. So I do believe it takes one more look to get it right. There are a lot of folks looking at this, and I think what you were seeing was attorneys trying to solve the problem in items 1-4, we were trying to resolve it and saying, look, the list that the court adopted is fine. The problem is this one single element. So let's take another day to look at it. With respect to your concerns, all of your concerns, are these the full list? If you adopt the common law and we keep that existing language, it adopts with this a whole other series of common law explanations. There's, for example, intermingling of funds, commingling of funds, and undercapitalization. Each one of those has a set of its own elements to talk about what is undercapitalization. And it's not that you become undercapitalized while you're operating in good faith. The issue is when you began the company, was it adequately capitalized? I mean, if you wanted to go out and buy a natural gas processing facility and you put in $1, you're probably not adequately capitalized. but it might be sufficient for some entities. But if you put in adequate capital at the beginning and you exhaust that capital, then that you don't defeat that by saying, well, I'm not going to put any more money. There comes a time when you have to say, look, I put in the, what I believe was, and I can demonstrate was a proper initial capitalization. I'm not required to further capitalize it. So, Mr. Vice President, I would move that we set this back one more day. And I'll stay here while the good senator from Casper.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I certainly support laying it back one more day, but I would ask that on the amendment, we take a very hard look at the necessity of the new C, lines 8 through 19. I think we're much better off with just saying, don't consider these elements that should not have been considered and were in that particular case. I think that you're running some risks of omitting something. I think you're running some risks that somebody might construe that when we put it in the statute, we somehow changed the precedence a bit because our language wasn't quite the same as what some of the previous common law cases would suggest. And I think it's unnecessary to put in both halves. I think that you're much better off sticking with the don't consider these specific things that are the ones that are causing the trouble. And this is where those of us, including myself, who are not attorneys, get out of our legal depth. But I would certainly hope that those looking at what we ought to do here will take a hard look at the necessity of doing item C as opposed to just doing the rest of what's in the bill, including the second half of this amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. President, for your second time.
Thank you. What I'd say with respect to that issue is that practitioners will disagree, and we've had disagreement. I'm of the personal opinion that the whether the factors are three long or there are factors of 9 or 10 factors, it doesn't make any difference. I can tell you that for many of the practitioners that are leaning towards this solution, the reason they look to this solution is because it adopts, this solution adopts and codifies the existing common law as it was imported and as it's really interpreted throughout a lot of different cases. What the Greenhunter Court did was took these four categories, and again there are three, but it took the four categories and then broke each category out into separate items and created a list of 9 items. And you could see how you could do that, because you could take undercapitalization, break it into 3 or 4, take other factors and break it into 3 or 4. The folks that are concerned about that approach in the Greenhunter Court are worried that if you try to make an all-encompassing list of 10 items, then your analysis becomes to say, okay, if you meet 5 out of 4 or 5 out of 9, you pierce the corporate veil. So we're going to analysis that you check off the box, not 6 items, and as long as you make more than 6, you get the corporate veil. And what they're pointing out is historically, and by adopting the historic language, we see that it's a balancing effort, that it's not a simply a list you check off, you hit 6 out of 9, and you've done it. Rather, the court has to balance all the items that are embodied in these lists. And I would say that personally, I didn't think it was necessary, but I understand the rationale. And I understand that what we do want to do is insist that it is a balancing effort, and you look at the totality of the circumstances, and you don't simply say, well, I'm going to make a list of 10 things, and if three things were omitted and you complied with 6, you're okay, or vice versa. You complied with 5 of the most important things, but you missed these little things. I'm going to ding you here, and ding you, and with 4 dings, you're now pierced. That's a dangerous precedent to set. We need to make sure we avoid that type of analysis. Thank you.
So we have the request laid back one day without, oh, hang on. We've got Senator.
Just a brief question on the amendment. It doesn't have to be answered now, but in the future, would it? And this is actually has to deal with some legal expertise that was given to me, is that you could form a corporation with $1, and definitely that was inadequate capitalization, but within 10 days, 2 weeks, you have adequate capitalization, adequate assets, because you moved them from other areas into the corporation. So at one point in time, you have adequate capitalization, but you might have inadequate capitalization on the formation. And then when a business gets up and running, then maybe there's some liability that happens and there's a problem, and then they have inadequate capitalization. So I have the same heartburn, I think, as the tall senator from Natrona County, that if the and how we fix that and how we define inadequate capitalization, we don't want to broaden it so much as to say that if at any point in time you've got inadequate capitalization, and that's an overriding, that scores two, that's like a weighted condition. So you get 3 points rather than one checklist against you. So I guess, Mr. President, I know all legal advice is exactly what it's worth, so I guess you're going to have to give us some legal advice for free. I would hope so as we move forward. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Case.
Mr. President, I'm not sure it's a good idea to put initial inadequate capitalization in there at all, because I think it's not in there now, and so we're not. It is probably that the court is looking towards the capitalization in the beginning of the company to achieve the plans, but I don't think that means that it's exactly at the moment you sign the papers. I think it's early in the plans. Mr. President, to get at the plan that was suggested to lay this back, I'm assuming that if we lay this amendment back, that I would have the opportunity to bring a corrected copy.
Will.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support the...
The question of the good senator from... some part in Wyoming on the eastern side of the border up near Goshen County. There's an answer to that. I'd love to give it to you, but I've already spoken twice, so I'll talk to you later, and we could talk about that on the next time the bill comes up. Without objection, the vote on third reading number one will be deferred pending potential submittal of a new corrected number two copy, and set of file 36 is laid back for one additional day. So ordered. Senator Driscoll.
Mr. President, having voted on the prevailing side of Senate File 14, Student Data Privacy and Transparency, I move for reconsideration on Senate File 14.
The motion has been made to reconsider Senate File 14. The motion to reconsider is non-debatable. Will the chief clerk call the roll on the motion to reconsider?
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Aye. Coe?
Aye.
Aye. Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Esquivel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
No.
No. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Pappas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
No. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Scott? No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 16 aye, 14 no.
By your vote, you have voted to reconsider Senate File 14. We're now back on the bill on third reading of the file. Roll call on the bill, third reading.
Anderson?
No.
No. Barnard?
Aye.
Aye. Bebout?
No.
No. Boner?
No.
No. Burns?
No.
No. Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
No. Kraft?
Aye.
Aye. Dockstetter?
No.
No. Driscoll?
Aye.
Aye. Emmerich?
Aye.
Aye. Esquivel?
Aye.
Aye. Geis?
Aye.
Aye. Hastert?
Aye.
Aye. Hicks?
Aye.
Aye. Johnson?
Aye.
Aye. Kinski?
No.
No. Landon?
Aye.
Aye. Meyer? Aye. Pappas?
Aye.
Aye. Perkins?
Aye.
Aye. Peterson?
No.
No. Ross?
No.
No. Rothfuss?
Aye.
Aye. Scott?
No.
No. Von Platern?
Aye.
Aye. Wasserberger?
No.
No. President Nicholas?
No.
No. Closing vote? Closing vote closed. 18 aye, 12 no.
Senate File 14, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members that elected the Senate, Senate File 14 has passed the Senate. Have we got any messages that we need to put on? We do have a standing committee reports.
February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 41, State-Funded Capital Construction, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Perkins, and Ross. Noes, Senators Hastert and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman. February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 103, At-Will Employment Contracts, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman. February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 102, Federal Funds Distribution, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Senators Burns, Hastert, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. Senator Ross, Chairman. February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 96, Marijuana Edibles, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Christensen, Esquivel, Hicks, Kinski. No, Senator Von Flatern. Senator Christensen, Chairman. February 15, 2016, Mr. President, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 83, School Facilities Appropriations 4, respectfully reports same back to the Senate with the recommendation that it do pass amended. Ayes, Senators Burns, Perkins, Ross, and Wasserberger. No, Senator Hastert. Senator Ross, Chairman.
Clear to the desk. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk. We're at that order of business of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move the Senate stand in recess until 1:45 p.m.
Announcements. Senator Von Flatern.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Minerals, number 9, your Minerals and Economic Development Committee will meet As soon as possible after adjournment here, we're going to have to be tight on these four bills. In room S18, Senate File 39, Cease and Transfer Priority List. Senate File 65, Patent Trolling will be number two. Senate File 64, Industrial Siting Permit Amendments. Senate File 74, State Miners Hospital Board Employees.
Senator Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State Public Lands and Water Resources, will meet Tuesday, February 16th, upon adjournment, General Room S-27, to consider Senate File 80, Water Use Outside the State, Senate Joint Number 4, Labeling for Genetic Engineered Items 2, Senate File 90, Lifetime Game and Fish License Purple Heart Recipients, Senate File 98, Food Freedom Act Sales Locations, and Senate File 52, State Shrub.
Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your Corporations Committee Number 7 will meet tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Please note the time, 7 a.m. in Jonah Room S18. We'll take up Senate File 95, Eye Care Consumer Protection 2, Senate File 99, Emergency Medical Services, and Senate File 100, Special Districts Emergency Medical Services. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Wasberger, are you just stretching? Any further announcements? There being none, you've heard the motion. All those... Oh! Right in my... Senator Johnson, excuse me.
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Your Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment in Jonah Room 27 for the consideration of the following bill: Senate File 4, Military Service Member Protections, Senate File 12, Vietnam War Commemoration 2, and Senate File 70, Eli, Off-Road two? Recreational Vehicles.
Eli, you said 2?
145.
Do we have any further announcements? There be none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate shall stand in recess until 1:45.